Welcome back to Raj Ponce. I have a good friend of mine here today, Charles Worth, a.k.a. King Chip, a.k.a. Chip the fucking Rip. What's going on, bro?
What's up? Welcome back, man.
It's the second time on the show.
What's happening?
Man, you tell me what's happening. You have a lot going on, and you pulled up fucking styling today, bro. Fucking styling. So tell me about it, because you pulled up in a brand new Cybertruck, which in Cleveland, you don't see a whole lot of that, bro. You're not seeing a whole lot of Cybertruck in Cleveland.
That's one of the reasons why I took that road trip, man. You know, it's my 38th birthday, so I wanted to drive home and, like, just kind of, it was kind of like a spiritual little journey. And then I did a couple of meet and greets along the way, like, so I took the opportunity to just do something different, man. You know, I always fly in town and fly out. It's kind of repetitive. You know what I mean? I wanted to do something cool.
No one does that.
Yeah.
No one is like, hey, you know what? I'm just gonna drive there, because there's journeys and experience. It's an experience on the way. And you have a thing for your fans, too, where maybe some of them can't come out to your shows. Maybe they aren't going to necessarily see you in L.A. or Cleveland. You're always moving around. So it's kind of cool when you're kind of going to them in a way, for them to be able to experience, oh, shit, Chip's here. Like, that's dope, right?
It was dope. Yeah, Denver came out. I did a meet and greet in Denver. I did a meet and greet at a Tesla charger in Vegas, and it was really cool. You know what I mean?
At the charger station.
At the charger station.
And so I wanted to talk to you about that, because I know we just kind of touched on that. So you drove the Cybertruck, and this is kind of a testament to that vehicle. You said every 3 hours you had to stop.
Yeah, I stopped the charge about every 2.5 hours, and I had like 20%. I was down to like 20% from 100% battery when I would charge every 2.5, 3 hours. So it was cool. I mean, Tesla gave me the first year free, so I didn't even pay anything to drive to Cleveland. It was free.
Yeah, you already had this totally situated, ready to go. What's the real inspiration, though, behind the Cyber Slide? Like, what is that? What is that? Why did that come about? You're a creative guy. I've known you enough to know how you think outside the box, which I'll never understand, and really. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying, if that makes sense? But how'd that all come about for you?
I mean, I just wanted to spread love, you know, and I feel like when I fly, I'm missing a lot of ground. You know, I'm missing a lot of fans. I'm missing a lot of people. And then, you know, I really wanted to test the durability of the truck. I wanted to really see what it was all about. I wanted to see if it can handle just, you know, making a cross-country trip. And, it's passed with flying colors, man. I really think that they figured it out with that one.
Well, we're happy you're here, and we're happy you got here safe. And, shout out that Cybertruck, because that thing is fucking
It's pretty cool, man. It was fun.
You've had a lot of things going on, obviously. One of those things being you have a couple new singles out right now with Kid Cudi. Yep. And I wanted to ask you about those, and maybe if you could just talk about your experience and the creation behind that.
Yeah, man. We got, we actually 2024, we actually released quite a few songs this year, honestly. And we just have fun creating it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the number one thing, is to have fun. You got to have fun. You got to love it, you know, and you got to be saying something. So, you know, we always do that effortlessly, and it always works out, especially that our last one we just put out, Don't Worry. I feel like that's like a world hit. Like,
that's on my on repeat on Spotify. It's been since that bitch dropped.
Yo, it was fans who had already listened to that song like 1,000 times. They had proved it with the screenshots, like, in a couple days. I'm like, damn, but I get it. It's really that dope.
But you're singing on that.
No. I'm just doing the third verse. That's
all that is.
Yeah, that's Cudi's doing the hook and the first two verses, and then I'll do the third verse.
How did those come about for you? Was that just like a phone call you got one day, like, hey, let's put this together?
I mean, no, it just kind of comes together organically, man. We just shoot the shit, and you know, we just end up dropping some, you know, having fun, dropping shit and
making it happen.
Yeah, it just kind of comes together like as a lifestyle.
And that kind of comes in tandem with you. You had the Charles Worth LP that came out, was it March? something like that?
It came out Thanksgiving, last Thanksgiving.
Was it Thanksgiving? God, man, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't seem like it was almost a year ago.
I know.
No shit,
it's
really.
It's still alive. See, I don't believe in, like, music being old if it still gives you a new feeling. So
I feel like that was way fresher for me, for real.
Yeah,
because,
You know, so I just, like, you know, it's something that is going to continue to live and grow, and people are going to continue to find out about it and love it. And I mean, I think every album should be your best work. So that's my best work yet, I think.
You, I think, took a very cool route with that album. You talked about a lot of really real things and a brutally honest take with them, right? Yeah. It wasn't necessarily just like, oh, this is what I think. It's like kind of looking at everybody going, what are we doing here, guys?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, in a couple of those, and I think where that was all driven home to was in the album cover as a family situation,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I really just appreciate that album, a lot of the songs on it, for what you put through. I was fortunate enough, before the album came out, you shared some of those with me when we were in the studio, and, man, those are just... to this day, still bumping.
Yeah, man.
You know, and I'm super proud of you for putting those out. But I think everybody should definitely take a listen to the Charles Worth LP, because it may give you a very different perspective, or may be able to articulate what you're thinking, which is what I think that did for me.
Yeah, man. I really put my all into it, and the cover really means a lot. I mean, it's a picture of me, my dad, my mom, and my little sister. You know, that's something we don't usually see a lot of, you know, especially when I grew up, a lot of my friends, their dad wasn't there, or some kind of dysfunction, you know. We didn't have no dysfunction. We lived in the ghetto, but we was good. Like, I'm really the only one that didn't go to college, you know, in my family. I'm the first one that didn't.
I think it was okay that didn't go to college. I think it worked out, guys.
You know, but
I'm glad you didn't go to college.
I'm glad I ain't go to college.
From all your fans, on our behalf, we're all glad you didn't go to college.
Yeah,
because you've been killing it.
Go to college.
Yeah,
know, I'd have been wasting my time in there, but that's because I knew what I wanted to do.
You were raised. Your parents. Give me just the quick background. I know we've kind of gone over this before, but for those who don't know, I would like them to know just kind of the base of the situation that you were in. What your parents said. I know your mom. Your mom was a teacher, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah, my mom and my dad were both teachers.
Yeah, that's correct.
And my dad, he got his master's degree in education, like right in front of me, right off St. Clair. When I was a kid, I was watching him and my uncle do it. They did it together. And I didn't really know what it meant then, but it wasn't matching up with the rest of the things I was seeing around the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, but they came from an older, you know, the generation before us. So, you know, it was a little different. But when I grew up, it started to kind of just, I don't know, man. It was like people got dumber. You know what I mean? Like, people got dumb. Like my dad and his friends, even the way they talk was kind of like, they was from the hood, but they talked a little proper. They grew up in the same hood we did. And then we popped out and we dumb, you know what I'm saying?
That's
we dumb
crazy.
As hell.
That's fucking crazy.
You know what I'm saying? So something happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, even the way they would talk, even they slang, you know, we'll dig, Jack. You know what I'm saying, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, now we like, shit, you know what I'm saying? My nigga on God, you know what I'm saying? For real, my nigga. Like, what?
That had to have been, like, a really interesting thing for you to navigate. But you kind of sit right in the middle of that because you're very well-spoken. I mean, you're not somebody that I get on the phone with and can't understand, or I'm like, what the fuck did he just say to me?
I mean, you know what I mean? That's because I discovered the difference between strength and weakness. You know what I mean? Like, and power. And I feel like power lies in a lot of places that's hiding in plain sight, like how you speak and how you think, how you react, if you react. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really react negatively to things, cuz I'm just figuring out how I'm going to, do the
you're creating your own way to go about it.
Yeah, like, I don't got time to show how something made me feel, because I'm too busy doing something about it. You know what I mean?
Like, well, since I've known you, I could tell you're a very solution-driven person. You're not somebody who's going to sit there and look at the problem. And, yeah, it's not even about that.
I'm
kind of
like a robot. Like, I don't want to tell you how you made me feel because that's irrelevant. I'm going to just do the thing I need to do.
Yeah, and just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. What's it like coming back to Cleveland, you know, in spaces like this where you're just like, oh, shit, like, I'm going to cyber slide back to Cleveland. You don't make a big thing of it. That's one thing I do notice of you. You're not somebody who's going to, you know, you're just like, I think this is what I'm going to do. And you just rock out with it. So what's it like being back in Cleveland?
I mean, you know, it's watchers, talkers, and doers, man. And when it came to making that drive, I really just wanted to, you know, see America. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see America, you know, especially I got this newfound respect for it. America, you know, that I didn't grow up like it wasn't like something that I was taught by the people that raised me.
Have you driven across the United States before like that?
Yeah, I've been on tour plenty of times all across.
Yeah,
the country.
So you've seen
I've
bunch.
Seen all the roads, but I haven't driven all of them myself.
Right.
So man, taking 70 East, I pull out my driveway, I get on the 101.
Yep.
Right, and then I take the 101 to the 134. And then I'll take the 134 to the 210. And then I'll take the 210 to the 15. And then I'll take the 15 to the 70 East. And the 70 East is the most beautiful freeway in America.
Is that the one that goes through Utah?
Like Colorado and Utah look like Mars.
Man.
That should look like another planet. Like all the screensavers on the Apple products is in Colorado, I promise you.
Like the base of the mountains, right?
They gotta be.
Man.
Bro.
It's like, you know what I'm talking about, right? When you go that border of Utah and Colorado, where you're starting to get into the mountains, but you still got the red rocks. It's kind of like the meetup, if you will. Yeah. You're right. So you took the northern route, because I've taken both routes, and the northern route's 100% the way to go. You're putting the car through the paces, which I think is dope for real.
Yeah, it was dope. And then after I got out of Utah, it was just straight flat land. It wasn't no turns. I just went straight
hours. You go through Nebraska, dude, it's just corn, bro. Just corn.
And Nebraska got zero tolerance for weed. It ain't even medicinal. It's just no.
Oh, for real?
It's just hell no.
It's just
hell no.
Hell no, bro. Hell no.
Hell no to jail you go.
That's fucking hilarious. So you were probably a little, you just probably kept it quiet.
I smoke my weed the normal way. I smoke it wherever. I don't give a fuck what nobody talking about. I just make sure I move. I'm not like
cruise control, baby.
Yeah, well, I was in autopilot the whole time. I did autopilot. I just sat there and looked out the window and smoked weed the whole time.
See, I would get too tired. You're a better man than I am. That's fucking hilarious. So, why the hair change? We had Chip has. How long have you had the hair the way you had it?
I've been growing my hair since 2020.
Because it's notable. The hair's notable.
I've been growing it for 4 years.
Because there was a point where you just had a clean cut for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it wasn't nothing crazy. Then you started growing it a little bit. When I saw you last, you were just dreaded Undertaker style, as you call it.
Yeah, Undertaker. The Undertaker is like, that's like me having my windows tinted on my face.
Yeah.
Like, I can see through my locks, but it's hard to see me. And it was like, I kind of like that.
Is that why you like the sunglasses too?
I mean, trust me, the hair does way better than the sunglasses. It covers my whole face. Like, I could just literally be the Undertaker if I want to. Like,
well, swag, because I think the hair's dope.
Yeah, like all the girls were telling me I need to pull my hair back. I did a video one time, and a lot of girls were like, yo, you should do that more often. Like,
and you're like, hell yeah, I'll make that happen. Hell yeah. Yeah, I think that's a notable one, because when I saw it posted or whatever, I was like, yo, you look good, bro. Like, I like this. It's a fresh, clean, different. I ain't never seen this. The last thing I expected when I turned on Instagram that day, because I didn't recognize you. I'm like, what the fuck? Damn, and then your big, man, white, shiny fucking teeth. And I was like, oh, there he is.
It's really like, it's out of my face. It's out of the way. I really do, like, enjoy the freedom of not having it swinging all over my face. No homo, but. You got New Yorkers awesome. Watching the podcast, so they really listening closer.
True that.
We call them we used to call them pause police.
Did you I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your relationship, your poly relationship.
Yeah.
And because I think it's an interesting situation, because for me, I couldn't do it. right? Mm-hmm. I've had this conversation with you before. I couldn't do it. What brought that about, and why is that so important to you now? Right? Because your relationship is so healthy. It's one of the healthiest ones I know about. Shout out, Nardi. Yeah. Love you. You're the best. Yeah, I just kind of want to talk about that with you a little bit, because I feel like maybe people can get a little insight into what that is, and maybe that could be a solution for them.
Yeah. Well, my wife was the one that proposed the idea to, you know, bring other women into the relationship, you know, and what's called polygyny, which means that the women are exclusive to the man. Yeah, it's just like, you know, if a man has four kids, they're all his dad. It's not like, you know, it's not like they feel like he's any less of their dad because they got other siblings that
yeah, of
share
course.
The same dad. So, and they call you daddy anyway. So,
they all call you daddy, right?
So you know, it's a tribe, man. You know what I mean? It's a collective effort. It's all love, and you got to be strong. You got to be a strong woman. You know to.
Yeah, like you have to be crazy secure to.
You gotta be secure. You gotta be strong. You gotta be free from games and bullshit. And I really think monogamy is a scam. If most of the divorces from infidelity, then that's telling you that they're not trying to do that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've never been in a relationship where I haven't wanted to bang another chick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
not gonna
it's
say
not
that's
our
you
nature.
Know what I mean?
It's not our nature. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some people. I'm not like a. You know, I don't know all of the religious things and all of that, but I do know that there was a lot of people in the religions, a lot of characters from the religions they was living polygyny.
Yeah,
they had multiple wives or whatever you wanted to call them. But I think that's something that fights back against the system once you get it going the way it's supposed to go. I love whooping the system ass. You know what I mean? So I feel like this ain't something that they like. Because we self-sufficient, we sustain ourselves, and we're growing. We're putting our credit scores together. We're putting our income together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We able to buy the block up if we want to. Like, I feel like if that became a trend, it would poke the man in the eyes. I like that.
Well, and you say that, but you also prove it because you have things that I know you probably have worked on together. That was another thing we wanted to talk about is the Indie Artist Guide. That you put together, because I think that ties in well, because you are a creative guy, you're a knowledgeable guy, and you've always got some weird and different shit going on all the time, for real.
Yeah, no, the Indie Artist guy, I just wanted to write something that was from me, no AI, and give artists something, you know, that they can actually refer back to, because I get people come and ask me for advice or ask me this and that. So I just was like, yo, you know what? I'm going to just break down a whole guide, you know what I mean, and try to cover as much as I can. And so that way, you know, you ain't got to try to just remember what I said when you see me on the street or, you know, try to catch a interview or anything like that. You can just go get the guide.
What do you think the most important piece of advice from somebody who's starting in the business, from a musician standpoint? What do you think, like, out of all the things that you have in that guide? Because it's a little bit of everything. I mean, there's a lot of life stuff in that, too. So,
man,
it's not simple, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's pretty complex.
It's easy. It's broken down. But, I mean, I got everything from how important it is to have your good hygiene to how you can, you know, fund yourself and get, you know, pay your rent and pay your bills. Because a lot of times with artists, that's the main thing. They got to try to figure out how they're going to get by, and they got nonprofits right now that's looking to pay artists rent and bills and everything so they could do what they want to do, but it's not really advertised. But the links are in the artist guide. You just fill it out yourself. You don't need me. You just need the link. That's why I just put it in there. I put a lot of links in there where you can go straight to hit the link and just good luck. But you know, it's people are taking advantage of that every day. We just don't really know about it. It's not trendy. So I wanted to make it trendy. I like to poke the man in the eyes.
You want
to
be a trender. You want to be Ralph Lauren, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, I think that's an interesting way to go about getting the information out, because I've never seen it put out like that, right? Because it's and it's probably forever growing from experiences that you have as well.
I mean, I got suggestions on software if you creating, you know, content. I got suggestions on hardware, how to organize your what your management should be doing. Like, really, it's extensive. You know what I mean? It's extensive.
You really could have anything on that end of things.
Yeah.
Going through on that artist guide, which is I think that's one of the coolest things that you've been rolling out with.
Yeah, people been buying it, man. People been buying it a lot. People love it. And not one person complained, you know what I mean? And if I spent that much money on something and it was bullshit, I would say something. And out of everyone that bought it, nobody say nothing.
But you built it off experiences. You're not just sitting there going, oh, I studied this for a while, let me write a book.
Yeah, this is all from experience.
This is life shit.
I'm not somebody who knows what it's like to be on anybody's label. You know what I mean? So everything is straight independent from someone who's only been independent. So it's really hard to find someone who can even write this.
Yeah, you do things literally your way all the time. And I've seen it. I've seen how you do it. You have your own people around. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. You got, which kind of leads me to my next thing. So that's one thing Chip has going on is the Indie Artist Guide. You can go to his Instagram. Is there somewhere else we could find that too?
Oh, yeah, kingchip.com.
Boom. Go to kingchip.com, order that. Even if you're not an artist, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Even if you're not an artist, man. I mean, one of my favorite slides on the guide is personality. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes people real talented, but they shitty and they don't even know it. They you know what I mean? Like,
I've been shitty and not known it before, for real.
Like, you trash, bro. Like, even if you had the cure for cancer, we not about to talk to you about nothing because you trash. You know what I mean?
Like, it's true.
So it helps you figure out how to not be trash anymore. And it helps you figure out how to communicate with people. Sometimes, for example, I don't get to respond to people, but that doesn't mean I don't want to talk to them. But they can cancel themselves out by catching feelings, thinking that I'm ignoring them. You know what I mean? Because I really did want to talk to them. I really did want to do things. I'm just busy because I'm a busy person. They can't imagine what I'm doing because they watching Netflix. They not missing an episode. They doing a whole binge. I don't got time to binge nothing. You know what I'm saying? So they can't even imagine what my life is like. So they're using their imagination, and it doesn't really stretch that far. So now it's making them think that I don't want to fuck with them. And they cancel themselves out by catching a sucker attack.
People love doing that, though, for real. People love catching feelings about some bullshit, even when it's not like that. Speaking of being busy, have Slab Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You have a studio, and you're constantly in your studio. Every time I've ever called you, you're in your studio.
Yeah, man.
So tell me about what you got going on there, and tell me about the different, availabilities and what you offer over there. Because you have a lot, and shout out Lil Will, who's always over there too.
Lil Will, the player, Lil Will.
Love Lil Will, bro.
I mean, honestly, the studio hasn't really been open for public that much. It's kind of like Stankonia kind of vibes, where it's just I used it for my album to make the Charles Worth LP. Really, that was when I got the studio. Got it to finish the album, and now the album's finished. Now I just, you know, I'm working on my next album too, but I decided to kind of like, you know, not put it on the market, but try to, you know, raise some awareness about it and use it as a tool, you know, to connect with people and to create. So I'm working on my new album right now. I'm the only man on the album.
One man show.
I'm the only,
I love it.
No, I'm the only man, but it's a lot of people on the album. It's just I'm the only man.
Okay, it's all women. And does that include the like everything?
So I'm producing the album, but I have female musicians. I got a pianist. Her name is Aileen. She's super dope. She's from Russia. She's crazy. Soma is a violinist who's been coming to the studio and we've been killing it. I got a harp player. I got a guitarist. I'm on the MPC, you know what I mean? So I'm doing me on the MPC. And then I just got a bunch of live instrumentation around me that's all women. And the features are all women. So it's no guys on the album at all. Like, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, and the album's called Polygyny. You know what I mean? So we made these babies. Every track, we made these kids. You know what I'm saying?
How'd that come about? How'd this all come about where you decided, hey, listen, I'm going to do all women? Because I've never heard of anybody doing that. But what do you think? I mean, here's the real question that comes along with that. You decide to go all women on the album, right?
Yeah.
For this situation. No one's ever seen it before. Was that what attracted you to it?
No, I mean, I love when I see female DJs. It just does something to me. Like, my barbers, women cut my hair only. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't want a guy putting his hand under my chin and gripping my forehead because it's too many great women barbers.
I'm going to disagree. We have different opinions on that. 100%. Because I feel
I want to smell strawberries.
I feel like when I go to a woman to cut my hair, she cuts it the way she wants it. And then when I go to a guy, he cuts it the way I tell him to fucking cut it. You know what I'm saying? Because the girl will be like, nah, it's going to look like shit. Let me help you out here. You know what I mean?
Is she going to fuck you?
Yeah, she's going to fuck me. Sometimes it happens. I've been fucked up before. I went to a gay dude like 3 weeks ago, man. He fucked me all the way up, bro.
Oh, shit.
Shit is right, dude. I had a hard part that was like fucking huge.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
It's true, bro. It's true.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious, man. Nah, luckily, I ain't run into that problem, man. I just been smelling strawberries and looking at ass and having a gray haircut.
Jeff don't want dudes grabbing his chin, bro.
You know what I'm saying? They do the little, you know, when it's time to rub you down, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just soft hands. And yeah, man. That's how I like to get my hair.
I don't blame you. I get it.
But
I mean,
I was lucky enough to find somebody that does it the right way. I'm not against men cutting my hair. I just, if I got the choice, I'm going to go with the lady.
Yeah, what about a massage? You go to get a massage. You going to let a dude rub you down?
Hell no.
I mean, neither. I'm the same way, bro. Ain't happening over here.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah,
man.
Every time I call, they're like, do you mind if Jeff gives you a massage? I'm like, nah, bro.
I gotta be able to enjoy it.
Jeff ain't touching me, bro.
I got to be able to enjoy it, man.
You were on the Fortnite map.
I got my own map on Fortnite, and it's Cleveland. I got the flats on there, and I got Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on the map, and I do a live concert on the map, and it's out. The map is out. You know what I mean? And I think we're about to change the name. I think right now it's called Hollywood versus Cleveland Zone Wars. But
yeah, that's what it's called. My son plays on that map.
Yeah, but we're about to launch the upgrade, which is like this super city. Super map, like this shit is crazy. It's like Detroit Road Bridge,
the blue one connects, right out here.
Yeah, yeah, that one connects like
all of Cleveland.
Two big, you know, pieces of land on the map. It's really dope, bro. It's helicopters and all type of shit on the map.
How'd
bro.
That start? I mean, that was kind of out of left field one day. Where everybody's scrolling on Instagram and you're making a fucking map for Fortnite. So how'd that come about?
I linked up with a really dope developer named Brian, and my guy Jake brought me to him. And we just started working. We just started creating.
Jake Z.
You know, Jake Z.
Jake Z, that's a man. Totally. I saw him up here when Kells was at Forward.
Yeah, yep, man. Shout out to Kells. Shout out to Jake, man.
Yeah, yeah. I saw them up here. I was like, oh, shit. Because I saw Jake since. I was like, man, what's up? I'm here. Yeah, let's do it. So we got a table at Forward. That shit was crazy. It was a good time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I just seen him. I just seen Kells at, what was that? Slim's birthday.
Okay.
In L.A. I went out to Slim's birthday. And he was there last time. I see him all the time, though. But, I love Cleveland camaraderie. You know what I mean?
You ever going to move back to Cleveland?
I want to, man. Especially, you know, when I pulled into town on a special day where you had that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. You had the Indians game, which I'm going to always call them the Indians. So we can argue if you want to.
No, it's a tribe.
And
I don't think it's racist.
In the Browns game. In the Browns, you know what I mean? So I pulled in town, and I saw the entire town just in unison. You know, I'm seeing, you know, I pulled in on the Browns game, so it's like jersey. Everybody got their jerseys on the next day. Like, it's like, yo,
this felt like home.
Silly. It's a real city. Like, this is like, you know what I mean? Like, because I live in a melting, LA is a melting pot. You know what I mean? So Cleveland's not really a melting pot. Mm-hmm. It's really just us.
Yeah.
So it's, I miss that. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you got to take the story on the road. You can't like, you know, it's only so much you can do there. You know, if you want to get the word out about the place, you can't do it in the place the whole time. You got to do it some other place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
the Cleveland love's just crazy, though. You said you pulled in the town, and you know, you saw Browns jerseys and stuff, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. What are your opinion on the Browns right now? And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Deshaun Watson, so it's kind of a two-part thing. We'll start with, what do you think about the Browns right now?
I was born into the Browns. My onesie was Browns onesie, first onesie I ever had. You know what I mean? Like, my uncles, my dad, my family, you know, my grandfather, it's Browns. That's when it ain't even, you know what I mean? Like, that's, it's in our blood. Our blood is brown. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Oh, God, you know, so, but.
Few people choose to be Browns fans.
This season, honestly, this season is, I haven't been following as close as everyone else has, but from what I've been seeing, it's kind of rocky. Yeah, it's, and then, I mean, I guess when it comes to Deshaun, I don't really know too much about the football politics, man, but I heard that he got booed at the game when he hurt himself.
Yeah, ruptured his Achilles, yeah.
I don't advocate for booing somebody that just got hurt themselves. But, I mean, you get a lot of money to get out there and, you know, dilly-dally. And while we out here working our ass off.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's fucking sucked this year. He, yeah, he's been fucking terrible. And here's the deal. I can't feel bad for somebody. All right, here's my opinion of Deshaun, because even though nobody asked, I'm going to tell you anyways. You know, you go into a massage place, physical therapy, whatever it is, and two chicks that work at the same place accuse you of doing something wrong. You know, I get it, right? That's you know what I mean? That can happen. But like 20-something jigs, bro. Like, you did something wrong, bro. You definitely did something wrong a lot of times.
You get paid a lot of money to play football the right way and not be a perv.
Yep. and that's exactly why, like, even if people were booing or cheering.
I can't say what he did. You know, I'm not here to pass judgment and say he did these things. I don't know anything, man. I'm just saying that if that is true, then I can understand the fans' frustration, and if it's not true, I don't know what can be done about what happened. But
and that's what's the hardest part is, I think, from a Cleveland perspective, as you know, and as you live as a person, you're a very hardworking person. That is a big part of what Cleveland is. They're hardworking people, and when you get somebody that comes in here, gets handed a massive guaranteed contract like that. That's a football town, you know. If you took a poll and said, "Hey, you got to get rid of every sport except one," you know which one would be standing, and we fucking suck.
Right.
But it would still be there, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes in, and then to add new cases to the situation, and it was a mess, and he hasn't really been publicly, you know, necessarily apologetic or whatever it might be, and that could potentially be a part of the frustration as well.
Like I said, I can't speak on the allegations. I leave those as they are until there's any kind of proof. If we dealing with proof, that's one thing, but if we dealing with, you know, hearsay or, you know, then that's another thing. So I don't get into hearsay.
Well, and we don't know what his weaknesses are and what the team, you know what I mean? That we can't really go into that.
I don't know anything about him to speak on his character, but I know that there are allegations, though, but shit, it's probably allegations on everybody in this room about some shit. You know, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. So I don't really, but how I'm looking at it is, you know, you in Cleveland, bro, playing for the Cleveland Browns, bro. We need to win, punk. Like, you gotta deliver. Like, you gotta pass the ball. You gotta run that bitch. Like, you have to do what you're supposed to do, man.
Man,
and like,
I'm telling you,
you know what I mean. Like, you gotta. If the chemistry's not there, then it's just not there. Maybe the locker room and it's not vibing. Like, who knows? I don't know.
He's fucking up. I mean, come on.
But one thing I do know is, nobody care about what you're going through, especially when you're getting paid. You know what I mean? We're not trying to hear that shit. We trying to get results. Or we trying to get your ass out of here, boy. Like, we trying to win.
We're trying to win, bro. And that's, what do you think about the stadium being moved from downtown to Brook Park? Because that's another thing that just happened, too.
I don't know. I mean, here's my theory. I could be wrong. But it kind of feels like somebody's trying to herd us west of downtown. And gentrify the east, and then smooth everybody out.
I don't know if you've been on the Cleveland Remembrance page lately, but it's not going well.
I mean, yeah, I mean, no, that means it is going well.
I mean,
you know,
I guess
they're driving the property value down, getting it for dirt cheap, and building another fucking Brook Park on the east side.
That's probably true for real.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, hopefully that's not what's going on, but it's lining up.
It's definitely that's an interesting take.
You know,
I'll put it to you that way.
I would love to save the neighborhoods, man. You know, we need to build the communities up. I would love to see how we can come together and do that. You know, like
it needs to be done, bro. Because Listen, man, that's why I say the Cleveland Remembrance page. I've been mentioning that lately because I'm on there. It's probably terrible for my mental health, for real. But you see all these shootings and the violence and stuff, and it's not just East Side; it's West Side too, right? But the reality of it is like, what are we doing to stop this? And it's like 14, 15, up to like 22-year-old, 23-year-old guys. It's kids, bro, that are doing this. And so I am interested in what your take would be on what can be done to fix it and why is it like that on the east side of Cleveland? Because you experienced that same kind of childhood, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you limit the resources, you know, When you limit the resources and you limit the space, it's gonna bubble up, it's gonna pressure bust pipes. You know what I mean? Like, I really think that we need more things for people to do, that they can even make money on, that they can live on. You know, it's not really much that people can do. And then on top of that, you got tension. You got people. You know, it's. I feel like if we had more, it wouldn't be as many problems. You know what I mean? Like, we just need to figure out how to get some money going on in the ghetto. You know what I mean? Like, it's ashy.
I mean, for real, though, that's what it is. Like, the East Cleveland mayor, I believe, was just indicted for some shit. Everybody that they elect over there is fucking stealing money. So, and it's like, it's sad because those taxpayers need it.
I mean, we need legitimate revenue streams. You know, like, you know, we need to kind of bring in something that people can, some kind of, I wouldn't even say jobs. We need to try to, you know, take on an industry, or, you know what I mean? Like, be a producer of something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what can we produce other than rap music and dead bodies?
We've talked about weakness, like, before, though. Like, what are the, two-part question, what is weakness to you? And then what are the weaknesses that occupy that space?
You know, like I said, like, you know, the generation before me, they had a little more sense. You know what I mean? And I think it's just kind of getting a little worse as the generations go on. You know, so I think education, but the right kind of education, the education that we can actually use. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to know trigonometry. I need to know, you know, how to get my credit in position to take out a business line of credit. You know what I mean? I need to know how to get my LLC and my trust situated, and if, you know, and file my trust with the Secretary of State, and put my bank account in my trust so can't nobody take my money. Child support can't take my money, and then learn how to beat child support. We need to learn UCC 1-308. You know what I mean? Reserving our rights without prejudice. You know, we need to know how to, you know, like law, you know, we need to know how to object. Our silence is acquiesce. If we sit there and don't say nothing, that's like we saying yes. You know what I mean? Like, these are the things we supposed to be taught, you know, because that's what we, you know, that's how they operating on us. You know what I mean? Like, they get to take advantage of us not knowing it. You know, whoever they may be, you know what I mean? It's just upon the whatever scenario is going on. But if we learn, if more of that was coming out, and if we got the capacity to do it, because you got niggas that's scamming, and I don't know how they doing that shit, and they getting money. So you know what I mean?
I've been taken.
Well, we don't got
a couple times.
We could. It's a lot of legitimate things we could do. That's still very lucrative. A lot of these skyscrapers bought off credit.
I'll never forget you told me when I first met you. You go, yo, be careful. You will walk and lick. That was one of the first things you told me. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me. You know what I mean? And I appreciate that. Because there was when I first got out to L.A., that was a situation. You know what I mean? For me. Yeah. Because it's bloodthirsty out there, for real. You know, or it can be.
I mean, you know, that's across America, man. You know, you're going to have certain pockets, you know, where... You know, we kind of forgot about. It's like being a foreigner in your own land. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not really no love. It's a food desert. They're not even really bringing no food that's going to nourish us around here in some of these areas in this country. You know what I mean? So, I took on a new respect for this country when I found out that they didn't bring me here on no ship from no Africa. We was already here, and we had... A lot of these cities was already here. You know what I mean? Like, and black people built this shit. So that's what they meant when they say that the African Americans built the country. That's what they really mean is the Indians was already here. We came here and got with the shit.
Yeah.
But it was slavery. You know, people, they enslaved a lot of the Indians that was already here. The Indians is black. You know what I mean? Like, my grandma told we was Cherokee. You know what I mean? And my grandfather... told me that it came from Black Hawk and some other tribes. But when we think about, and then that's why I say I've always called them the Cleveland Indians. You know what I mean? Because it's really a lot of, you know, false depictions, contradictions. You know what I mean? Like, no, but I never really seen myself. But then when I look at the allegories of the American, when I dig into the books and read these books by, you know, the Arnaldus Montanus, and I read Hernando de Soto about, you know, when he came here in the 1500s and saw black Indians, they kicked his ass when he was in Louisiana and then in Florida. You know what I mean? Like, so many explorers that wrote about coming to America and meeting black people here. You know what I mean? So it's like, why is they spending all this money trying to sell me a slave movie? Now I get it. Every so often we get one. It's always been like that. So it's like once I really pulled the wool over my eyes and see that all this time been nothing but lies. With everything.
Yeah.
Because it's in the interest of certain people.
Right. So once you peeled that back, was that something where you were just like your eyes wide open? You're like, holy shit. I can't believe that this is really what it is.
Man, I learned that things that most people know are most likely lies. Most common knowledge is a lie.
I'd probably agree with that.
Most common knowledge is a lie.
Why do you say that? Just because it was like passed down from, you know what I mean, one to another? It's just kind of like that chain story of events where the story is told wrong every time it's told the next time.
I mean, why would I trust somebody to write history who shits, pisses, and lies?
I mean, it's a pretty reasonable take on it, though, for real, yeah.
I can't even read the Word of God if a dude wrote it. It's just a dude.
Listen, like, I struggle with the Catholic Church, bro, so listen, I'm the right guy to talk to about
that.
You know
what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't believe in somebody being so holy that they could tell me what God said. Like, man, get your punk ass out of here.
I think it's crazier when they rewrite the Bible. You know what I mean? You're just like, wait a second. You can't just rewrite the fucking Bible, bro.
I mean, but it's
got to
be
like
in
that.
You, man. What's the books? The only reason why they make sense is because it's already in you. It's an assimilation. It's like a key that turned in. You already had the grooves.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I really didn't need the books. And I feel like even if I want the Word of God, I got to pick a book off a plant and open it up and read it, but that's not how it works, so I can't get it like that.
I noticed a lot of the music that you've been putting out, specifically with the last album, has more to do, like I listen to your older stuff still, obviously, and you're just a lyrical genius, and some of it's fucking hilarious, for real. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think that's what a lot of people should take out of what, you know, you've said in a lot of your music, but obviously the newer album was more heartfelt, more real. You have an upcoming album. Are you going to, or if you can tell me, what direction are you going to take with that?
I wanted to have more live instrumentation. You know, we having fun. Like the coolest thing about this album is making the beats, making the music, making lyrics is easy. I've been doing that for years. That's in the bag. I ain't even tripping on that. Like, I want the music to just be incredible. You know what I mean? And I'm going to say I'm going to have a lot of lo-fi lyrics on these really high quality beats.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're doing it real different this time.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense. I mean, I just say that because, like, I listened to the last album. I mean, I listened to it a lot. I've listened to it enough to know plenty of the songs. And I'm always curious with what you're going to come out with next, because you are quick to hit a left turn. You know what I mean? And it comes out of nowhere a lot of the time for you, right? Like just all women, that's, you know what I mean? It's not that it's crazy. It's just, it's so different.
Nobody, I never heard of anybody doing that before, but that's not even what inspired me to do it. It was just dope. I just thought it was a good idea.
We'll just do a couple more. What are we? We're like 48 minutes in. Let's talk a little politics. I'm not a big politic guy. I don't vote. I don't want to participate in that. This is kind of how I see it. Where do you stand with the presidential race right now? I'm just curious.
Man, honestly, I'm too busy following the money, man. You know what I mean? Like, I truly believe that the key to power is not really predicated on which president that you vote for. It's maybe your local elections. If you can get in unison with the rest of the country and kind of vote locally on the same page, that's cool. But I think that shit is a fucking show, man. I don't even really believe that. You know, I don't really believe that it's. When I look at that shit, it's like WWF. Like, when I was a kid, we would watch wrestling and we knew that shit was fake.
No, I mean, it's true though. It is.
We didn't give a fuck. We would argue about that shit and everything. We knew it was fake.
But it is. I mean, you look at everybody, and it's not that they're not allowed to change their minds, but it's insane to think about, like, what politics is. I mean, it's a popularity contest.
It was a storyline. Vince McMahon would come out and do his bullshit. You know what I mean? It was a whole, you know, and it was like we followed along with the storyline, and, you know, and me, I'm at the lunch table like, man, y'all sound crazy. This shit is fake. What is y'all talking about? Like,
the best were the arguments on whether or not it was fake. Remember exactly. Those when you were younger? You were like, no, it's not fake, bro. Yeah, it is.
They
dude, look at that.
They believe it was fake, you know. But I'm just comparing that to politics. You know what I mean? Like, that's truly, I believe, like, now that I'm looking at life through the lens I'm looking at, a lot of adults as kids to me, they, you know what I mean? A lot of grown ass people I'm looking at as like my son.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you really putting all your energy into something that.
For what?
I mean, it's like, first of all, if you're somebody that watches the news, we definitely don't even kick it. For sure, I can promise you that. Like, I don't absorb bullshit.
I can't tell you the last time I've watched the news. Yeah, I mean, for what? Everybody has – it's all opinion-based. I mean, think about that, right? It's all really opinion-based.
You know, the weather may be something that I could – you know, but I won't get – I got an app on my phone for the weather. I don't need none of them mainstream media platforms for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I really feel like, you know, the mind is really delicate. And if you can put something in a lot of people's minds all at once, that's a dangerous power, man, to misuse as a terrorist organization, if you ask me.
Do you think, like, almost the media is kind of being disbanded now because so many people talk about how bullshit it really is? Like, CNN and Fox News are a fucking joke now.
Yeah, but they people talking have no voice. You know what I mean? Because I've seen people take to the streets in a lot of countries, and the news hasn't even shown us these people taking to the streets in these countries. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even if you, it's like you really got the final boss to beat is media.
Yeah,
I think that's the final boss. Like, because I think we the 99% versus the 1%. That's the only two parties I think it really is. But the 1% job is to make us argue about anything. It don't matter what it is. LGBT, abortion, anything.
Well, you said that in your, that's a lyric. 99% versus the 1%. Yeah, that's a lyric for me.
That's, you know what I mean? Like, I really believe that, because it's like, why, how we live on the same land. We eating the same food. We dying from the same diseases, from the same people.
How do you navigate that? You have a young son. How do you navigate the media and I want, like, kind of teaching him on, like, how he should navigate it as a kid? I have an 8-year-old, so just kind of curious on your end how you work that out.
You know what? I don't even, I try not to get my son involved in the bullshit, man. Like, you know, I really just try to focus on things that make me happy and make me feel like, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, like I'm on my path. You know, I really don't. You know what I mean? Like it's a lot of issues that need to be addressed. You know, and I'm always down to put my voice in or put the work in, but trying to have someone represent me, I never liked that. I don't feel like somebody else should be appointed to speak or do anything on my behalf.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm the living man.
Yeah, because you're more one of those people that you can kind of just go, just watch me do it, and this is how it's going to be done, which is what I think I'm sure your son is going to be doing. Because
like in court, when you got a lawyer, you called a minor, because you in court, you're not able to represent yourself, so it's like almost like you incompetent or incapacitated or some shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you consider,
isn't that crazy?
You consider you a little kid.
Isn't that crazy? You can go on trial for some fucking bullshit and you couldn't understand a word they're saying. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Really stupid. And they talk about de facto and de jure. You don't know what neither one of them means.
Yeah.
You like
we're at case number DC.
You don't even know when it's time to talk.
You have no idea. Or when you do talk, they'll be like, no. Or they can't give you. It's just crazy. The whole legal system is fucked up.
And the whole legal system is operating on Admiralty Maritime law. They're not even on common law. That's why you got to reserve your rights without prejudice to get them back into common law, or else they're going to take you into maritime law. That's when they can take your rights. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's two constitutions. People don't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and you got to really announce yourself in the right way when you walk in there, or else they're going to put you on a new program, the scam bullshit.
Man, that's for sure. I've been there.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got to really, you know, you got to make a special appearance, not a general appearance, you know?
It makes for an interesting conversation, only because, like, you know, if you, like, go scrolling through YouTube or anything, you'll see the different guys, like, you know, video recording the cops, and then, like, you know, the judges have YouTube channels and stuff. Now it's pretty interesting, right? And everybody's got a different approach and a different opinion on how things go. But the general consensus is like, wow, this is so fucked. Like the whole entire thing, for just some people for small crimes, some for big. But either way, the legal system is broken. I think everybody can agree with that.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's a lot of things wrong. The beauty of it is we live in a time where we can change our reality real fast. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people want reparations and they deserve it, but the hard pill to swallow is they not finna give your black ass shit. So you gotta get out here and make your bread.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not gonna work like that. It should, but watch. It's not.
It's not gonna work like that.
But
guess
what though? We set the record on this planet from people going from slavery to billionaires. Nobody ever did it as fast as black Americans. You know what I mean? In the history of the world. So all we got to do is keep unifying. Keep unifying, keep thriving.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I want to talk about new music, new videos. I'm doing videos to songs I never did videos to.
Oh, classics. Shit. Okay, wait. We've had this conversation like a year ago. So you're doing this? I'm rocking this out.
I'm doing videos to songs I never did videos to, but like, you know, like Get It Girl, I'm Fitted, a movie.
I'm Fitted is getting a video?
Oh, yeah, they never had videos.
Let's go.
So I'm going to have fun just creating videos for them. But it's crazy to think that these songs have motion off just the music alone.
Yeah.
No video, no label.
No.
Just the song.
Bro. I could rap most of those songs word for word still to this day, yeah. bro. Like I was even on like whatever I'm from Cleveland had Kel's fucking yeah. busting out a rhyme from you a couple years ago, and I think it was filmed recently, but yeah. I was laughing at that. Yeah, man, your music over here is classic. Like when I was in high school, bro, that was it, dude. Chip the Rip, bro.
Hey, man.
That was it, man.
I've been getting so much love, man. I'm so happy I drove to Cleveland, man. And I definitely don't regret it, man. It was great.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And, yeah, bro, always welcome on the pod, bro. So thanks for coming on again. Appreciate yeah. it. I wanted to shout out Cocky's Bagels, 1127 Old River Road in Cleveland here. These guys are great. They do all kinds of cool stuff here. They've got a bar. You guys come in for breakfast. They've got amazing, the best in Cleveland breakfast sandwiches, I swear to God. A phenomenal staff here, and then they do parties and events. They're hosting us obviously here this evening, and they've got a great bar. They've got two bars actually, and it's a great spot to come watch some Cleveland sports, especially watching the Browns lose on Sundays. So but
not for long, baby.
But yeah, Chip the Rip, everybody, thanks for coming.
Hey, Chip the Rip, let's go. Raj Pons.